Welcome to Evening Under Lamplight, your friendly local radio show on your friendly community radio station, Cambridge 105, and your friendly presenter, Robert Louis Abrahamson. You'd think we're doing a show on Friends the way I'm going on, but the show on Friends was a few weeks ago. Hey, by the way, you can still hear it if you come to our website, the friendly home of archived Evening Under Lamplight shows, at momentsunderlamplight.com. And this evening under Lamplight, we're going to look at telephones. All right, a pretty silly topic, I know, but there were several telephone songs that struck my fancy to share with you. But as I attended to these songs, I noticed that almost all of them were not just about telephones, but the pain and frustration of using, or being blocked from using, the telephone. So I'm calling our theme Telephone Frustration, and I invite you now to attend. The telephone's an amazing thing, which we, of course, take for granted all the time, until something goes wrong. I always think it's a good idea to stop and appreciate what we have before it goes wrong, and maybe we'll be doing that this evening. It's certainly odd to contemplate the world before mobile phones, say before 1990. A world where it seems almost incredible that any two people actually did manage to meet up without speaking to each other two or three times en route to the meeting place. I'm always reminded of that horrible time, about 1965, here comes a personal anecdote, that horrible time about 1965 when we drove up to New York and were supposed to collect Uncle Ned and Aunt Ida on our way to our New York cousin's house for some party. It was August, and we had arranged to meet them at the entrance to the Holland Tunnel. We sat there in the sun and steamy heat for 2 hours or more, nothing but concrete all around us, no air conditioning in cars in those days, surrounded by traffic and noise and exhaust, and perhaps, I don't remember, perhaps wearing starchy, dressy clothes. But no Uncle Ned and Aunt Ida. My father began fuming. These were my mother's relatives, not his. And eventually we left without them. It turned out we discovered later that they had been waiting for us, just as long, at the Lincoln Tunnel, not the Holland Tunnel. Such a story feels as old as Homer to us now, doesn't it? Today, at least one person in each party would have a mobile phone to help sort out such misunderstandings. Well, actually, I cannot picture either Uncle Ned or Aunt Ida carrying a mobile phone. They weren't the type to do that. They were more the type to go to the wrong tunnel and cause confusion. So maybe the story would be even more frustrating in today's setting. The only thing more frustrating than neither party having a mobile phone is probably one party having one but the other not, or as often happens, the other party just being out of range or out of power. And then, of course, there were all the ages when there were no telephones at all. How did people keep in touch? Well, in 19th century, there were telegraphs for rapid communications, and there were, at least in the cities, very efficient postal systems. 5 mail deliveries each day in London. So, for instance, Robert Browning could write to Elizabeth Barrett in another part of London before breakfast. Her reply could arrive about 11 o'clock. His next letter to her might arrive before tea time, and her letter back to him might arrive before bedtime. Email is scarcely more efficient. Okay, but before the 19th century? Yeah, right, it was tough. You just had to narrow your scope, didn't you? Did life feel poorer? Well, only from our perspective, I suspect. They managed. Perhaps they expected less and were grateful for more. Well, here's a song about an older telephone phenomenon, the party line. No gratitude here, but frustrated anger. I never experienced party lines myself, but people used to have these lines they shared with other people whom they did not know. It was rather like a communal toilet down at the end of the corridor. Remember that from A Raisin in the Sun and other older stories? You had to wait for the other person to come off before you could use the line. And who else but Ray Davies would write a song about the frustrations of the party line? Did he really have a party line in 1966 when this song came out? That seems a little unlikely, though certainly possible. He says it was where it was there when he arrived. The song begins with the sound of a phone ringing, an everyday noise when the song was recorded, but an antique collector's item or a digitized phone application today. And he sounds really angered by this telephone frustration.
Hello, who is that speaking, please?
See, we thought we knew why people don't vote in the elections, but here's another reason. I'm not voting in the next election if they don't do something about finding out the person who is on my party line. As good a reason for disenfranchising yourself as any other. That's the kink in the Kinks song. I don't think anyone has a party line now, do they? It's all much more convenient, but it's a kind of truism, isn't it, that the more we have telephone convenience, the more we use the phones for trivial things. What are these people talking about who walk down city streets or sit in restaurants deep in conversation with some wire dangling near their mouth? We feel we must be connected to the other person because we're on the phone with the person, but how trifling is so much of the conversation, as in this New York telephone conversation, or rather New York telephone conversation, from Lou Reed.
I was sleeping, gently napping, when I heard the phone. Who is on the other end talking? Am I even home? Did you see what she did to him? Did you hear what they said? Just a New York conversation rattling in my head. Oh my, and what shall we wear? Oh my, and who really cares? Just a New York conversation, gossip all of the time. Did you hear who did what to whom? Happens all the time. Who has touched and who has dabbled here in the city of shows? Openings, closings, bed repartee, everybody knows. Oh, how sad, and why do we call? Oh, I'm glad to hear from you all. I am calling, yes, I'm calling, just to speak to you. For I know this night will kill me if I can't be with you. If I can't be with you.
That was a song about someone being woken up by a trivial and unwanted phone call. What's it like to be on the other end, to be the one who makes the unsolicited and undesired phone call? Well, one of the earliest references to telephones in literature comes, conveniently enough for us, in the writings of Robert Louis Stevenson, in his book Silverado Squatters, which describes his experiences in California in 1800. We're going to approach this telephone anecdote from a roundabout way. We begin with Stevenson in the remote town of Calistoga, a place, he says, difficult for a European to imagine. The whole place is so new and of such an accidental pattern. The very name, I hear, was invented at a supper party by the man who found the springs. The Wild West was still part of this land, at least the world of stagecoaches and bandits trying to rob the stage. Or as Stevenson put it, "It must be remembered that we are here in a land of stage drivers and highwaymen. The highway robber is still busy in these parts. In 1879, the dentist of Mendocino City, 50 miles away upon the coast, suddenly threw off the garments of his trade and flamed forth in his second dress as a captain of banditti. A great robbery was followed by a long chase, a chase of days, if not of weeks, among the intricate hill country, and the chase was followed by much desultory fighting, in which several, and the dentist, I believe, amongst the number, bit the dust. The grass was springing for the first time, nourished upon their blood, when I arrived in Calistoga. I am reminded of another highwayman of that same year. He had been unwell, so ran his humorous defence, and the doctor told him to take something. So he took the express box." Well, we're not really interested in the bandits, but in the stagecoach drivers, who, thanks to the bandits, took on the role of local heroes. Stevenson tells about a man named Foss, who was a celebrated stagecoach driver, known for his reckless and daring driving through rough and dangerous country. California, Stevenson tells us, boasts her famous stage drivers, and among the famous, Foss is not forgotten. Along the unfenced, abominable mountain roads, he launches his team with small regard to human life or the doctrine of probabilities. Flinching travellers who behold themselves coasting eternity at every corner look with natural admiration at their driver's huge, impassive, fleshy countenance. Wonderful tales are current of his readiness and skill. One in particular of how one of his horses fell at a ticklish passage of the road, and how Foss let slip the reins, and driving over the fallen animal, arrived at the next stage with only three. This I relate as I heard it, without guarantee. I only saw Foss once. Though strange as it may sound, I have twice talked with him. You see, we're coming to the telephone talk. He lives out of Calistoga at a ranch called Fossville. One evening, after he was long gone home, I dropped into Cheeseborough's and was asked if I should like to speak with Mr. Foss. Supposing that the interview was impossible and that I was merely called upon to subscribe the general sentiment, I boldly answered yes. Next moment, had one instrument in my ear, another at my mouth, and found myself with nothing in the world to say, conversing with a man several miles off among desolate hills. Foss rapidly and somewhat plaintively brought the conversation to an end, and he returned to his night's grog at Fossilville, while I strode forth again on Calistoga High Street. But it was an odd thing that here, on what we are accustomed to consider the very skirts of civilization, I should have used the telephone for the first time in my civilized career. So it goes in these young countries. Telephones and telegraphs and newspapers and advertisements running far ahead among the Indians and the grizzly bears.
Lezione 8. 8A1. Michele is trying to make a long-distance call. Ascoltate.
Vorrei telefonare a New York, per favore. Il prefisso è 212. Il numero è 628-1528.
Resti in linea. Mi dispiace, la linea è occupata.
Va bene, richiamo più tardi.
Ora ascoltate e ripetete.
I would like to make a telephone call to New York, please.
Vorrei telefonare a New York, per favore.
Wait a minute, wait. What's going on here? How did that get in there? Well, it's no more strange, I suppose, than for Stevenson to make a phone call from Calistoga to a homestead out in the hills in 1880. I suppose that man Foss used to get lots of prank calls like this from the townspeople showing off their new technology to strangers. Poor Foss and his frustration. And that snippet from Living Languages Italian Lessons can lead us to consider long-distance phone calls, which feature in many songs this evening. Many of the songs about telephones are frustrated love songs. The guy, usually a guy, tries to phone his woman and can't get through, all the more frustrating because he's calling from far away. We've heard the Kinks already, but we often do get a double shot of Kinks on Evening Under Lamplight, and that's what's in store this evening. Here's an obscure song called Long Distance from the 1983 album State of Confusion. The Ray Davies persona of the poor Schlemiel finds himself on tour in Australia. How lovely to be lazing around in the hot sun when it's cold winter back home. But he is miserable because he keeps trying to make long-distance calls back home but can't get through. Or, and this isn't quite clear, maybe he does get through, but that makes it even more frustrating. Spent last winter playing in the sand with the prisoners of the motherland. Damn hotel is feeling like a cell. And even paradise can be so cruel, sitting by the swimming pool, trying to keep my head together in that hot Australian weather. 3 days to kill and my per diems getting low, 'cause I spent all my money calling long distance. The song then shifts into a version of Desolation Row, it seems to me, with these freaky characters running wild in the hotel, presumably other members of the touring group. They're having a wild time, but he's sitting there trying long distance one more time, just in case she might be in this time. Now the roadhog's face is turning red. Larry's still asleep in bed. Romeo, he can't get no head at all. We had that phrase, getting head, on the last show, too. What's happening to us here? I'm guessing, by the way, that this Romeo is Dave Davis, always out of control when mixing hotels and women. And the doctor looks on so annoyed. You disappoint me, Mr. Boyd. And the electric dwarf wishes he was 6 foot tall. Now Romeo's patience is wearing thin. Come on, baby, let me in. It's 5 a.m. and I've been creeping round the hall. But I got no resistance calling long distance. You sound so close, but you're such a long way from home. Still no points for my merry men, except Ricard, he just scored 10. And now Roadhog's getting drunk again, and I only get to hold my pen instead of what I long to hold the most. But of course, this being Ray Davis, he cannot get through, but when he comes back to his room, the message said I got a call. Do we laugh or weep? Well, preferably both. That's a good way to attend. Oh, by the way, back in those old days of yore, one had to make long-distance calls through an operator, which added to the frustration, no doubt. So the song begins with that monotonous operator's voice.
Hello, this is long distance. Who do you wish to call? Hello, this is long distance. Who do you wish to call? Hello, this is long distance.
Am I?
I suspect that this, in the early 80s, when this song takes place, there were no answer phones, or very few anyway. I can't remember when they first started appearing, but I do remember that the first answer phone I encountered was Wendy Wasserstein's. Wendy was such a macher that she was seldom in when I phoned, but she was such a sweetie that she never liked to let anyone down, so she always accompanied her message with a little compensation for her not being there to speak in person, singing in a little girl voice some schmaltzy old Broadway song, Somewhere Over the Rainbow, for instance. Did those songs make us feel we were close to Wendy? Hard to say. But in general, telephones are illusory. They make us feel we are close to the other person when in fact only our voices are touching. Maybe our hearts too, but if we listen to many love songs, we hear the frustration that comes when the hopes that the rejected lover can still be in touch through the phone are dashed when she does not answer. We, of course, here at Evening Under Lamplight, never dash your hopes, and you can always reach us at lamplight@cambridge105.fm. That's email, that's not telephones. At our home at Cambridge 105, Community Radio in Cambridge. Oh, and me? Well, I'm Robert Louis Abrahamson, of course, at your service. Back to telephone frustrations, and let's have a series of songs about frustrated calls to lovers. We can start with The Telephone Blues by Eddie Gorman and his group, a song from 1949. Operator, operator, give me a line, I feel like talking to that girl of mine. But her phone is busy, and I wonder who's on that line. But perhaps it's the piano rather than the lyrics that you'll attend to most.
Man, you sure is playing some fine piano this morning. But I got the blues for my baby. Operator, operator, give me a line. I feel like talking to that gal of mine. Been calling and calling a long, long time. I've been out balling and I sure feel fine. But her phone is busy and I wonder who's on that line. Well, I tried and tried to call that gal of mine. Yes, I tried and tried to call that gal of mine. Man, her phone was busy, and I wonder who's on that line. Well, it's early in the morning, and I don't know what to do. Yes, it's early in the morning, and I don't know what to do. Yeah, about to break a day, babe. I'll be around to talk with you. Well, I'm sitting here crying and talking to myself. Yes, I'm sitting here crying and talking to myself. Man, I want my baby. Don't want nobody else. Ring. Operator, ring. Now I heard the wind blowing, and I jumped on my feet, went running to the door, and I ran out in the street. I went to a house, and I knocked on the door. Out came my clothes. I don't live there no more. My phone is busy, and I wonder who's on that line.
Wonder who's on her line.
Her line.
Well, notice that in the end, he gives up on the phone and goes out to talk to her in person. But going there proves just as frustrating. I think what happens is she throws out his clothes, and he don't live there no more. So in person, it's even more frustrating than on the phone. All right, next comes a little different situation with Muddy Waters' Long Distance Call. The guy pleads with the woman not to answer his call, but to call him herself. He wants her to extend herself to him. You say you love me, darling. Please call me on the phone sometime. And then at last, hear my phone ring and sound like a long-distance call. And the harmonica plays the ringing phone. It's not his baby, though, but instead the worst possible message. When I pick up my receiver, the party said another mule kicking in your stall. There are times when you wish there was no such thing as a telephone bringing such bad news.
Say you love me, darling. Please call me on the phone sometime. You say you love me, darling. Please call me on the phone sometime. When I hear your voice, ease my worried mind. One of these days, I'm gonna show you how nice a man can be. One of these days, I'm gonna show you just how nice a man can be. I'm gonna buy you a brand new Cadillac if you only speak some good words about me. Hear my phone ringing, sound like a long distance call. Hear my phone keep ringing, sound like a long distance call. I picked up my receiver. The party said another mule kicking in your stall.
All right, next, one of the more famous long-distance calls, Memphis, Tennessee, the original version by Chuck Berry. It sounds like we're in the same situation. The guy is trying to get the operator to put him through to his lover, Marie, who had called earlier and left a message, but no phone number. More frustration. But we discover as the song develops that Marie is only 6 years old. Uh-oh. What's going on here? Is this her father, separated by divorce, trying to get through to his little girl? That's pretty sad. But maybe it's even more poignant. Some anonymous contributor to Wikipedia has shown me another reading that seems very convincing. The contributor suggests this. The speaker of the song could be the slightly older brother of Marie. This interpretation fits with the naive hope that the call can be traced or that the operator might know how to find Marie from the general location of her house. Also, the speaker knows that there was disagreement, but seems vague on details. The estranged husband is not likely to view the home as happy, but the two children might, especially in retrospect. Also, the boy now lives with an uncle, indicating the family may have dissolved in the absence of the father, or that a stepfather has entered and the boy has been sent to live with relatives. Well, that makes sense, don't you agree? Or maybe you think this interpretation is just too sad to think about. Well, attend to the song just to see if you think it works.
Long distance information, give me Memphis, Tennessee. Help me find the party, try to get in touch with me. She could not leave her number.
station. Get in touch with my Marie. She's the only one who'd phone me here from Memphis, Tennessee. Her home is on the south side, high up on a ridge, just a half a mile from the Mississippi Bridge. More than that I cannot add, only that I miss her and all the fun we had. But we were pulled apart because her mom did not agree and tore apart our happy home in Memphis, Tennessee. Last time I saw Marie, she's waving me goodbye with hurry home drops on her cheek trickle from her eye. Marie is only 6 years old. Information, please. Try to put me through to her in Memphis, Tennessee.
Well, that was Chuck Berry's Memphis, Tennessee. I suppose while we're on the subject of trying to get through, we ought to listen again to Sylvia's mother. We heard this song on Evening Under Lamplight a few months ago when we spoke about mothers, but let's see how it fits into Telephones. It's a Shel Silverstein song, which means it's witty, and it's a Dr. Hook song, which means it plays with tones of voice just this side of abject self-pity. The song introduces another aspect of these long-distant calls, the need, now almost entirely done away with, to keep feeding coins into the telephone as the operator interrupts even the most intimate or most desperate conversations with the mundane request to insert 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes. The desolate opening guitar leads us into the even more pathetic voice of Dennis LaCourier, apparently just on the verge of tears.
Sylvia's mother says Sylvia's busy, too busy to come to the phone. Sylvia's mother says Sylvia's trying to start a new life of her own.
Oh, this is so sad.
Sylvia's mother says Sylvia's happy, so why don't you leave her alone? And the operator says 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes, please. Mrs. Avery, I just gotta talk to her. I'll only keep her a while. Says Sylvia's packing, she's gone, be leaving today. Sylvia's mother says Sylvia's marrying a fella down Galveston way. Sylvia's mother says, please don't say nothing to make her start crying and stay. And the operator says 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes, please. Mrs. Avery, I just gotta talk to her. I'll only keep her a while. Please, Mrs. Avery,
mother says Sylvie is hurrying. She's catching the 9 o'clock train. Sylvia's mother says, take your umbrella, 'cause Sylvie, it's starting to rain. And Sylvia's mother says, thank you for calling, and sir, won't you call back again? And the operator says 40 cents more for the next 3 minutes, please. Mrs. Avery, I just gotta talk to her. I'll only keep her a while.
That was Dr. Hook and the medicine show, Sylvia's Mother. Our next song is not exactly about the frustration of not getting through to the woman on the phone, but the frustration of getting through and then hearing her rejection on the phone when you said I was out of your heart, and trying so hard to play it real cool, but collapsing into tears on the telephone. And unlike the Dr. Hook song, this one really does take us over the edge into self-pity. That's one of Earl Brown's specialities, and he does it with elegance. Penso io. It's Hot Chocolate, Tears on the Telephone.
Tears on the telephone. Tears on the telephone.
Okay, that was Hot Chocolate Tears on the Telephone. Well, next comes an odd variation on our theme. We're not messing around now. Long distance operator, place this call, it begins, but adds, it's not for fun. We're in the surreal world of Bob Dylan, a song called, actually, Long Distance Operator. This is a song from the Basement Tapes, but it's performed by the band rather than Dylan. And feel the difference once Dylan handles the theme. I gotta give a message to my baby, you know, she's not just anyone. There's aggression, not towards his baby, but towards the operator who represents that outside world always out to block him or frustrate him. You know she's not just anyone, and I'm not just anyone. This isn't arrogance. It's just the assertion of his individuality in that mechanical world of telephone connections. And a world of everyone trying to push him around. There are thousands in the phone booth, thousands at the gate. Everybody wants to make a long-distance call, but you know they're just going to have to wait. Everybody wants to be my friend, but nobody wants to get hired. Long-distance operator, I believe I'm strangling in this telephone wire. It's Richard Manuel singing, a rough voice, constantly under strain, helped by the eerie, unpolished backing. We start off, though, with a little recording business.
This would be take 400. Rolling.
Long distance operator, I believe I'm strong.
there was the band with Dylan's song, Long Distance Operator. We've been talking about telephone frustration, but there's another kind of telephone unpleasantness, telephone paranoia. I don't hear too many people talking these days about their phone being tapped. Maybe I'm not hanging around with the right people these days. But people do talk all the time of surveillance on internet sites. If someone's tapping into your internet use and discovers that you attend Evening Under Lamplight at momentsunderlamplight.com, well, they're likely to be so impressed by your good taste that they'll know you're cool and they'll leave you alone forever after. But phone tapping is still a serious issue, and we'll look at it now. The band performing a Dylan song doesn't quite count as a Dylan performance, and you know it's one of our rules to play a Dylan song on each show. Dylan doesn't really talk much about the telephone. He goes in more for immediate experience. There are quick references to the telephone in a few Nightmare songs, such as the adolescent joke in I Shall Be Free. When my telephone rang, it would not stop. It was President Kennedy calling me up. He said, my friend Bob, what do we need to make the country grow? I said, my friend John, Bridget Bardot, Anita Ekberg, Sophia Loren, country will grow. And the telephone as an instrument of absurd chaos in the already absurd and chaotic world of Bob Dylan's 115th dream. A payphone was ringing, it just about blew my mind. When I picked it up and said hello, this foot came through the line. But for real telephone paranoia, we go to subterranean homesick blues. It's never too easy to catch the words of this song as they go winging their way past us so quickly, and the telephone reference can be easily missed, so here's what it says. Maggie comes fleet foot, face full of black soot, talking that the heat put plants in the bed, but the telephone's tapped anyway. Maggie says that many say they must bust in early May, orders from the DA. Look out, kid, don't matter what you did.
John is in a basement mixing up the medicine. I'm on a pavement thinking about the government. The man in a trench coat batch out laid off says he's got a bad cough, wants to get it paid off. Look out, kid, it's something you did. God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the alleyway looking for a new friend. The man in a coonskin cap in a pig pen wants $11 bills. You only got 10. Maggie comes fleet foot, face full of black soot, talking that the heat put plants in the bed, but the phone's tapped anyway. Maggie says the men say they must bust an early man, orders from the DA. Look out, kid, don't matter what you did, but walk on your tiptoes, don't tie no bows. Better stay away from those that carry around a fire hose. Keep a clean nose, wash your plain clothes. You don't need a weatherman to know which way the wind blows. Oh, get sick, get well, hang around the inkwell, hang bell, hard to tell if anything is gonna sell. Try hard, get bought, get back, ride rail, get jail, jump bail, join the army if you fail. Look out, kid, you're gonna get hit by losers, cheaters, six-time users, hanging around the theaters. Girl by the whirlpools looking for a new fool. Don't follow leaders or watch your parking meters. Oh, get born, keep warm, short pants, romance. Learn to dance, get dressed, get blessed. Try to be success, please her, please him. Buy gifts, don't steal, don't live. 20 years of schooling and they put you on the day shift. Look out, kid, to keep it all hid. Better jump down a manhole, light yourself a candle. Don't wear sandals, try to forge the scandals. Don't want to be a bum, you better chew gum. The pump don't work cause the vandals took the handle.
Most of the songs we've heard have also had an old-fashioned flavor to them, mainly because they refer to operators, those live, not recorded voices who made the connections for us. Let's end with a silly song from Alan Sherman, written in the early 60s, just about the time when telephones changed. Long distance could now be obtained through dialing a succession of numbers, digitized in a different sense. Before that, all telephone numbers began with a word, and then a few numbers, and there were protests when the words were replaced by more numbers. It all seems so inhuman. We forget this today, so used are we to the dehumanization of telephone operations, but here's Alan Sherman leading a protest song, well, sort of protest song, against AT&T, which was making everyone use all numbers instead of words and operators. He's fighting the change, but we live in the world of that change, a little poorer in some ways, but richer in our speedier telephone communications. Not all of it frustrating, let's admit it. And now, from me, Robert Louis Abrahamson, bringing you Evening Under Lamplight on Cambridge 105, Cambridge's community radio, here comes the parade to see us out.
Let's all call up AT&T and protest to the President March. Can't you see him smirking and smiling? 'Cause he's got us all digidialing. So let's all call up AT&T and protest to the President March. So protest, do your best. Let us show him that we march in unity. If he won't change the rules, let's take our business to another phone company. Wake him up in his slumber. Get a pencil, I'll give you his number. It's 318-5273-087429. Dash
511-409-06-740852.
Hyphen
116-205-79-03.
And now that you're on the right road, don't forget his area code, which is 518-247905-94. Where are the days of Auld Lang Syne?
Butterfield 8, Pleasant 9.
Let's keep those beautiful names alive.
Eskew 6, Gramercy 5.
Get ready to fight before it's too late.
Temple 2, Murray Hill 8.